We'll read briefly seven verses in unison. Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. I have announced the subject tonight, the gospel in Bible baptism. I think sometimes, and it comes almost in these quotes sometimes, that people will say, well, those folks over at Fourth Baptist seem to think they have a monopoly on the gospel. Now, that's not true, and that isn't the way we want to minister. But our ministry should leave the impression that the gospel has a monopoly on all of us. That's entirely different. There are those who think, well, they seem to think they are the only ones that have a monopoly on the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Now, that's not true. And that's a wrong impression. But I do want them to get the idea that the faith once for all delivered to the faith has a monopoly on us. The faith once for all delivered to the saints has a monopoly on us. Separation. Many times we're criticized for separation. We don't go beyond the Bible dictates. We believe and practice the doctrine of separation as it is in the Word of God. But we do not in any wise want to be known as having an monopoly, any kind of monopoly, on the doctrine of separation. But we do want it known that we're so separated unto Jesus Christ that he has a monopoly on us. Now, that's why we could find in this membership, I suppose, of 12 to 1,300. I don't know how many we have more in attendance every week than we have members. But we could find 428 people so far, and perhaps more now, who are wearing the soul winner's pin. Now, with that in mind, I would like to speak of Bible baptism and the gospel in it. First, as the Lord Jesus Christ is the channel of the power of the New Testament Christian, and the Father is the source, and the Holy Spirit is the power. Now, may we begin, first of all, with God as the source of the life of the New Testament Christian. It wouldn't be necessary for him to be the source of Mohammedanism. It's a teachment. It wouldn't be necessary for him to be the source of Confucianism. No, because that is a teachment. We might accept some system of doctrine, some system of dogma, but that doesn't mean the Father, God Almighty, has to be the source of it. If we were to turn, for example, to our Lord's marching orders from the church, when he was closing his ministry and going back into heaven, he said, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In that he spoke of an absolute power. He said, All power is given unto me. An absolute command. We don't have any choice. An absolute commission to teach all things. And an absolute presence in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't have any of these without realizing that the source of the Christian life is in the Father. But I wanted to say a word further about the Son being the channel. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we find this is a very severe doctrine. We say, for example, when we see in the paper how A number of the downtown churches, Christian churches, joined with Temple Israel in their Thanksgiving service. There is no mingling of prayer with Temple Israel and Christian churches. There's no mingling of prayer. Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And they accept him as a prophet. But the Word of God says there is only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Therefore, he has to be the channel. Now, if we may come then quickly to the Holy Spirit as the power. And I want to spend more time on that. There is in the baptismal and Bible baptism, we have three aspects. It's past, present, and future. We find many texts lending themselves to that. For example, we find Ecclesiastes 3:15, "That which hath been is now, that which is to be hath already been. God requireth that which is past." Three tenses, past, present, and future. Jesus Christ said, "I am him who was and is and shall be." We find the three tenses. In baptism, we have a memorial of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. How many times do you suppose sacrifices have been offered for sin that were never received by God the Father? Never received. Because we read in the book of Hebrews, "Every priest standeth daily offering ofttimes the same sacrifice that can never take away sin." In other words, every sacrifice that's been put on an altar in the name of Christ since Jesus Christ died on the cross would just as well have been eaten by worms before it was put on the altar, because it will get no further than that. Because the Word of God said he had come once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and his last word on the cross, you remember, "It is finished, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And with that word then, first of all, it's a memorial of his death. How many people are there who have copied his life? But it's impossible to copy the beautiful life of Jesus or obey his searching commandments unless we have been born again and indwelt by his Spirit. I was privileged one time to hear Paderewski play. In fact, Gallakirchy sang in the same musical program. I shall never forget it. I couldn't have known less about the technicalities of music, but somehow when he came in and took his place at that piano, I can still remember the silence that fell upon that audience. Here was a world-famous pianist, if not the greatest, and they waited with bated breath for him to get those fingers on those ivories. And I thought as I watched him, what would a student give to have taken a few lessons from Paderewski? Someone referred to 12 easy lessons to play the violin. I was discouraged early in my life. I had a young friend I went to school with, Arthur Walter Carlson. He took up the violin. And the first 2 weeks, he said, he spent the whole time trying to draw a straight bow. Well, I made up my mind I wasn't cut out to be a violinist, because my father said I could never cut a straight board. So how on earth, with a saw, how could I ever draw a straight bow with a violin? So I knew that wasn't my calling. But however much one might like to have had Paderewski as a pianist, as a teacher, even though you could have sat beside him and taken all the lesson he could have given you, his spirit could have never, never imbued your body. But when you become a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his other self, can look out of your eyes through your divine nature. He can think his thoughts with your mind yielded to him. He can give you his aspirations for your life, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." What a tremendous privilege. And as we remember Calvary, he died that we might live. Nobody ever became a Christian by learning lessons from the life of Jesus. We become a Christian by receiving life from the death of Jesus. And then when I think of his, not only it's a memorial, but it's a symbol. And may I put the two together? It's a memorial of what he did on the cross. It's in symbolic of our daily lives. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? How shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? Know ye not as many as of you were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his life? And then that we should walk in newness of life. We this morning were talking about the matter of conscience. And for the sake of shortening the message this morning, I left out a portion of the message I'd like to use now. Many people misunderstand their conscience. A Christian or an unsaved person has a conscience. But your conscience is not a lawmaker. Your conscience only alerts you about the law that's already made. You're made in the image of God. The moral law in the heart of man. No one can escape it. Conscience is not a lawmaker. Conscience is only a red light that, or a bell that rings to warn you of the law that you're about to break. Conscience is not the arresting officer that throws its hand upon the shoulder of the criminal and says, you're under arrest. Conscience isn't the sheriff to whom the arresting officer turns over the criminal. No. Conscience isn't the judge that sits on the bench and condemns the criminal. But conscience is all of these put together, but no better than its instruction. It's like a sundial. A sundial is a wonderful thing. People get lost in the woods. They find a sundial. They know how to use it. Fix it by the sun. It's wonderful. They can get the directions. They'll know the directions very accurately. They allow so many degrees and that's it. But supposing you set the sundial on the moon in the nighttime, it'll tell you nothing. Supposing you set it on the evening star, it'll tell you nothing. And many people are misled in this way with their conscience, in that they do not realize that this is the sundial of conscience. And it's only valuable in becoming a Christian or in living the Christian life when we have guided our conscience by the sundial of the Word of God. Sitting there in silence, and that is the conscience of man, sitting there in silence. And we have the scenes of the past coming before us. And they're going to be exactly what we have found reflected on the sundial of the Word of God. We wonder sometimes if people don't misunderstand the purpose of it. Isn't it interesting that we find these brought together for us in the favorite songs, like when we sing, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storms of life are past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Where does the heart get this instruction? Out of the Word of God, or the old rugged cross? O rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee, till the waters and the blood from the riven side which flowed, save from sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. This is when the conscience has been instructed by the Word of God. And then we go still further. We find in this same experience that conscience is depending upon the Holy Spirit daily, that we might walk with him. We find if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This means then the light of conscience reflection is refracted by the Word of God, which is the sundial of the soul. And thereby, when we read this passage, as someone said recently, I guess it was today, I heard someone say, they referred not to the technical name for it, but I guess it was in my Sunday school class. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, keeps cleansing us from all sin. That's a progressive present. It isn't an eros that's once for all, but it's a progressive presence. Because in the progress of life, we need that protection daily. This is one place where I very, very much separated from those who think they can live above sin, sinless perfectionism. And I've never had anyone who tried to teach me this or to make the scripture teach it, but what I asked is one question. How long can you live? How long can you live without needing the blood of Christ to cleanse your heart and life? How long can you live? How many hours? How many days? Could you? Now, if one could live above sin, they wouldn't need that present progressive. But we do need it. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Then we have a memorial, a symbol, and it's a prophecy. Tonight, when we had these who followed the Lord in baptism, we found that they were there acknowledging that they were sinners, that Christ died for their sins, that their sins were put behind his back as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more. They were raised to walk in newness of life. And then, if the Lord tarries and does not come back, one day we will stand in his likeness and receive a body likened unto his own glorious body. Whether we go to be with him or whether he comes to be with us. I was thinking recently of Eugene V. Debs. Eugene V. Debs was a socialist, way ahead of his time. And he was a radical socialist. In fact, he spent a great deal of time in jail for his what was then considered very radical ideals. And one time he was in jail, and he found himself in jail with a colored man who was dying. And the colored man was in a delirium, and he was calling for his mother. And he said, "Oh, Mammy, why don't you come? Oh, Mammy," he said, "I need you. Why don't you come?" And they said Eugene V. Debs sat down flat on the jail cell floor with one foot either way, took the colored man between his legs and leaned him against his chest. And he sang to him, "Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home." And they said that the dear old colored brother died with these words on his lips. "Oh, Mammy, I knew you'd come. Oh, Mammy, I knew you'd come." And in his delirium, he felt his prayer had been answered. And when we have one, the memorial of his death, burial, and resurrection, we have the symbol of his daily assistance in our lives. We have the prophecy of one day he'll come for us, or we'll go to be with him. And this is because he is the source. Our Father above is the source of the life of the Christian. Jesus Christ is the channel. The Holy Spirit is the power. Now, I suppose the greatest mystery about it is the transmission of power. The transmission of power. Years ago, I dropped my watch, took it in for repairs, and the jeweler said it wasn't serious. He said it was just a hairspring. Well, I said, whatever it is, it was serious enough that the watch doesn't keep time. He said, no, but he said, however tightly the mainspring might be wound, he said, the hairspring is the escapement for the power that must move the machinery in the watch whereby it keeps time. Now, I wonder many times if, though we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, thank God we are, if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. You may be, as a born-again Christian, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and still you can have a powerless life. You can have a powerless life and still be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We had better learn a lesson from those of our day who are emphasizing the Holy Spirit more than the Son or the Father. But at least we can learn that the only escapement for that power is obedience. The Lord Jesus Christ went into the wilderness in the 4th chapter of Matthew to be tempted of the devil, and after he was hungered, he was tempted. Now, he knew the Word of God like many of us do. He believed the Word of God like many of us. And if he'd have stopped there, he would have never redeemed us. You know the Word of God and you believe it. And you can still have within you the Holy Spirit, like the mainspring of the watch that may be wound ever so tightly. And still there's no escapement there whereby that power may pass and be transmitted into your life. Why? You know the Word of God. Doesn't do you a bit of good. You believe the Word of God. Not a bit of good. The Lord Jesus had to go one step further, and you will too. You have to obey the Word of God. And that is the escapement that's comparable to the hairspring of the watch that provides a transmission of power from the stored energy of the mainspring that gets out into the machinery that makes your watch tell time. Are you born again? Do you know Him as your Savior? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we ask Thy blessing now upon the Word of God in our hearts and lives. Forbid, our Father, that we should be shallow Christians. We ask Thee, our Father, if we have concern for the lost, or would we be like the doctor with a cure for cancer who enjoys it himself and refuses to share it with a neighbor and a friend? We realize, our Father, that sin is a disease, an incurable disease, likened unto leprosy. We are grateful that we know the great physician, and may He now preside over our hearts and lives and minds. In the closing of this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.